Welcome. Welcome. Gosh, sometimes we're more popular than other times.
For attendance,
yeah. Welcome. This is our weekly Davis County Commission meeting. I am Laureen Kamalu, Vice Chair, and this is Bob Stevenson, our other commissioner. Randy Elliott, the chair, is excused. He's here. He's in a meeting. He may make it, so if he does, he will sit in my seat. And just starting off in the agenda. Sorry, we came from another meeting, and so all my papers are a little bit in different places. All right. So 10 a.m., Tuesday, April 26, 2022. We are in the Davis County Administration Building at 61 South Main, Suite 303, here in Farmington, Utah. And we will open with our Pledge of Allegiance. And I wonder if Brian McKenzie would be willing to lead us in that today. Thanks, Brian. We have several items in the recognitions, presentations, and informational items, and we'll kick that off with Ben. Go ahead and tell us who you are and what you're presenting today. We are going to make us wealthy, I think, as a county.
That's correct. Thank you, Vice Chair. My name is Ben Nadolski. I'm the Northern Region Supervisor for the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. I always feel a little bit bad coming to your commission in particular and presenting you with such a measly check. But and you'll have to help me give Chair Elliott some heat for this.
I said, hey, man, I really don't want to take up all these good people's time.
All these people that are sitting on this side because they clearly hate me. On
this
he said, no, man, you got to show up. We love seeing you. And then he didn't show up. So I'm sure he's tending to some busy work. But just so folks are aware, the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources, we're stewards of wildlife for the state of Utah. We manage a lot of hunting and fishing activities throughout the state, and we own a lot of property in the state. As a state organization, we are tax exempt, and we've got code that requires that we make a payment to local counties in lieu of taxes. So a payment in lieu of taxes, or PILT, is what I'm here to do today. I'm delivering you a whopping $489.19. This is a reflection of how much property we own in fee title, but it's not a reflection of how much work we do and how much partnership we have and how many shared constituents we have with you guys. As you know, Farmington Bay wetland area is a huge migratory bird complex. It's popular for waterfowl hunters, but also for bird watchers and outdoor enthusiasts. So that's a big property. We have a wildlife education center out there that is starting to see tremendous amount of traffic. So we have a lot of shared constituents that come in and out. But today, on behalf of Utah's hunters and anglers, I'm here to present you with this small check. Chair, if I can approach.
Absolutely. Come on up. And thank you so much.
You know, Ben, maybe the easy next year if it had like a box of donuts for the room.
I got your back. I got you. Yeah. It will be a non-pecuniary amount of donuts for elected officials. I promise you that.
Well, and just a comment, the partnership is important, and we appreciate it actually very much. The money doesn't really reflect how important the land is here in our county, and particularly having one of the most significant ecologies in the Western Hemisphere. That's what he's talking about.
Right.
And it's a really, really big deal. And it's certainly on the radar of the entire state now with, you know, keeping it healthy in severe drought.
Yeah, thank you very much. Just all kidding aside, at the Division of Wildlife, our culture is so rooted in partnership. We have authority over wildlife, but we don't have local land use authorities. We rely on our partners to help with that. And just a case in point for what our partnerships can do in the state of Utah, We have what's called the Watershed Restoration Initiative. It's a Mr. Koch will appreciate this. The amount of funds and partnerships that funnel into it. We've completed almost 2,500 projects to date. We've invested $316 million into landscape improvements throughout the state of Utah for a total of $771 million economic output. That's almost 2.5 million acres in the state of Utah restored. And so I come here to present you a small check, make a couple jokes, but just want you to know that we as an agency, from top to bottom, the message that we get from our leadership all the way to the rank and file is to put priority emphasis on partnerships. And so even though it's $458, it's important enough for me to come here and to make sure everybody tell you that. So thank you so much for your time, and I'll let you get back to your busy agenda.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
You too. All right, second up is our clerk auditor, Curtis Koch, presenting an RFP.
Yes, commissioners, we have a couple of RFPs that we're presenting today. The first is for our e-cigarette, marijuana, and other drug prevention grant RFP. We've had 8 submittals on that. The first is Davis Behavioral Health on behalf of Bountiful and Centerville Communities, the CARES Coalition. The second is Davis Behavioral Health on behalf of Kaysville, Farmington, and Fruit Hike Communities, the CARE Coalition. The third is Davis Behavioral Health on behalf of North Davis Communities, the CARE. The fourth is Davis Behavioral Health on behalf of North Salt Lake, West Bountiful, and Woods Cross Communities, the CARE. The fifth is Davis County Hispanic Prevention Coalition. The sixth is Davis School District Student and Family Resource Department. Seventh, Discovery Family Coalition. And eighth is Layton Communities That Care. And so those will be reviewed. And this is a non-competitive bid, meaning if they meet the terms of the RFP, that they will receive some funding. So that will come back to you in agreements. The second is an incredibly important RFP. We have issued an RFP for total compensation analysis of wages, benefits, and classifications for Davis County. And we've had 4 vendors submit in a timely manner. Baker Tilly Virchow Kraus LLP is the first group. The second group is Evergreen Solutions LLC. The third is NFP. And the fourth is Uncomplicate HR. And so those RFPs will be reviewed, and a recommendation will be presented to the commission.
Terrific. Thank you, Curtis. And looks like we have another amazing item with D on the agenda.
Yes, we've got a couple of items, and the first is an incredible accomplishment. We recently received notice from the Government Finance Officers Association of Davis County receiving its 28th consecutive year of recognition through the Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting. This is off of the GFOA's website. It states that the purpose of this award is to recognize governments that go beyond the minimum requirements of generally accepted accounting principles to prepare annual comprehensive financial reports that evidence the spirit of transparency and full disclosure, and then recognize individual governments that succeed in achieving that goal. In accountant talk, that's
good.
That's pretty amazing language. That may sound boring to most people, but for accountants, that is high praise. For the ability to present financial statements in a way that the citizens can review them and understand their government is a high compliment to the staff in the office. And I'd like to recognize those staff members from our office, if they'll stand up. We have a few of them here today. Doug Stone is our lead external reporting auditor. He spends the lion's share of the time working incredibly long hours to make sure that our comprehensive annual financial report meets these standards. We also have, I'd like to recognize Heidi Vordecker's former chief deputy, Eric Barrett, Chase Hawley, Marianne Schwabendorf, Cindy Garrick, Kimberly Hansen, Valerie Cutler, Blake Woodall, and Cherise Bills. All of these people put in a tremendous amount of effort serving the public, and this award recognizes those folks' efforts. So I'd like to thank them for everything they do.
Yes, fantastic. Thank you all. That's remarkable. I mean, I just want to emphasize 28 consecutive years of this remarkable award. I mean, I don't know if you have any competitors in Utah or the West or this or the nation.
We do. I may have looked that up. maybe. We're one of three counties throughout the state that have received this award. And I'm not rooting for anybody to slip up, but I'd like to get past a couple of those folks. So.
Anyway. Just a little competition.
Yeah. But seriously, a fantastic achievement, and I hope the citizens of Davis County understand the work that these folks have done and what it means for the county. So,
thank you so much for getting that on the agenda today, and thank you all for being here. It's just really great to work with every single one of you, every one of you. And then another item.
And yes, last but not least, over the last 13 months, we've had an amazing experience, and we've watched it transform over here with this Memorial Courthouse, with the tearing down of the back two-thirds and the renovation of the front third. During that process, it was discovered that our 1996 time capsule for the celebration of the centennial of the state of Utah, it had been, we uncovered it, but we also found that it had been damaged. It would appear right after it was put in the ground. And so today we'd like to recognize the efforts of Becky Wright. She has taken a tremendous amount of time and effort to recover the items that were in that time capsule. Some of them had decayed, but she's done a ton of research. I want to read a few of the highlights of what she has done. She recovered and triaged every item in the time capsule. She logged most of them, most of the items, and then photographed them. She did what she could to salvage many of the items, even going back and researching and finding copies of the original documents that were put in there that had decayed beyond repair. And so she took the items, laid them out, dried them out. In some cases, if they were textile items, she froze them so that the mold would stop growing, and then washed them with vinegar and water and tried to restore them to the best of her ability and our ability so that they could be placed back in the time capsule. She took documents, used multiple scanners trying to get the best quality resolution so that the original documents could be preserved, made copies of those, researched time to find the best solution so that when we rebury that time capsule, we don't have to worry that in 2047 they dig it up and say, wow, it was broken. It looks like it got broke right off the bat again. It is an incredible amount of work and dedication. What I know about Becky is that she loves history and she loves preserving it. And what she's done, well, in 2047, will be recognized because had she not taken the time and effort, it would have been a disappointment. But it will not be a disappointment when they uncover that time capsule and have the history of 1996 presented to them.
So, Becky, you and I want to ride down together if we're still alive to see the 2047 opening.
I hope it's still around. This feels premature praise.
Well, I am confident with her efforts and her attention to detail that this piece of history will be preserved for the citizens of Davis County, and just wanted to take the opportunity to thank her in this commission meeting for all of her efforts.
Yes. Becky, we probably need you to just stand. Just go ahead. And we can add to this because a bunch of us saw all of those artifacts spread out and displayed to make decisions. And she knows very well one of the greatest historians in our county and perhaps in the state. And I think you are like unto Bill. In that way, and some people are just gifted with a great love of history, and it helps all of us. I heard a quote from David McCullough once in person, who said, "Trying to make good decisions in the present without the information from the past is like trying to plant flowers with no roots." And it was really wise. It stuck with me when I heard him say that, And so it is very important. When we are working on our Memorial Courthouse grand opening, we knew that we needed someone quite expert to pull all of that history together for us, and everyone knew who that person needed to be. It was Becky, and she has put a whole bunch of information together looking forward to our open house. So thank you again so much. Let's give her one more round of applause.
So, Becky.
Yes. Yeah, it was quite a process.
Yeah. So Becky, are you going to make sure that this time when it's buried, it's done properly and not just thrown in garbage sacks?
Yeah, it's the best we know how right now. So, well done. All right, we will move on to our public comment time. We don't have employee awards today. That will be next week. If there's any of you who need to head out and don't want to stay for the rest of this meeting, there's quite a lot on the agenda. But thank you so much for coming. And in the public comment, if there is anyone here to speak, we welcome you to come and share with not only the commissioners, but with all of Davis County a few minutes. And thank you so much, Rhonda. Tell us who you are.
Good morning. I'm Rhonda Perks. I am here representing the office of Congressman Chris Stewart. I don't have a big update today except to say that the congressman has had a rare 2 weeks here in the state of Utah. So we've been out and about all across the district from Farmington down to St. George for the last 2 weeks. It's been kind of a whirlwind. We did have an official town hall here in Farmington last week. Last Tuesday, we had about 120 people there, so that's a great turnout. We filled up the chambers over at Farmington City. I don't think anybody from the county was there, but it was a great evening, and lots of the constituents here in Davis County were able to come. And so, anyway, just that we were here and wanted you to know that, and we've been doing a lot of other things, and feel free to reach out if you have any constituents that need help with any federal issues or agencies.
Fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for letting us know about that. I was at the North Salt Lake work session and council meeting. Yep, but I have been in one of his before, and it was well attended then, too. I believe people like to come and hear and learn from him. So tell him thank you. Okay, any other public comments? All right, we will move on to our business and action items. And first up, with animal care, we have our director, Ashley Young, presenting a couple of items. Welcome, Ashley.
Hi, Commission. Thank you for having me today. The first item on our agenda is our adoption summary list for March of 2022. We did have 146 adoptions throughout the month. That's 65 cats, 72 dogs, and 9 other. Commissioner Elliott isn't here today to ask me what those others are, so I'll just tell you. We did a lot of adoptions for rabbits. This is pretty common this time of year with Easter and spring.
Wow.
Very exciting because rabbits are our slowest adoptions. So that was great to see some of those guys find forever homes. Second item on the list is a contract with Thorn Pest Solutions. This is a pass-through contract, so there's no monetary impact to the county. We are simply securing some better pricing for members of Davis County who are looking for solutions for raccoons that are on their property. This contract came up meeting with the cities about pest solutions and what we can do to help members without animal care having to get involved in the trapping process. And this is the solution we came to, and we're hoping it'll help. This contract does go through December 31st of 2023.
Yes, fantastic. So this came up.
And isn't it like $55?
$55.
$55 a raccoon, which is about half of what our citizens are currently paying if they call a pest control company on their own.
And so some residents will have traps of their own. So this is them.
Yes, so
trapping.
The raccoons do need to be trapped by the resident. A lot of our cities are actually providing traps at their city halls for residents to rent as well. So it seems to be working well.
That's great.
Okay, wonderful. I'll make a motion that we approve items 1 and 2 presented to us by Ashley Young, our Director of Animal Care.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Ashley. All right. Our attorney's office, Chief Civil Deputy County Attorney Neil Geddes has how many? Two? Yep, just one. Thanks, Neil.
So this is an amendment to a contract with Cellebrite, Inc. Cellebrite makes software that allows our investigators to extract and index data from mobile devices like phones. It's a really crucial tool for our investigators, especially for some of the types of cases with children and things like that that they do. So Mike worked on this contract. I believe we're simply amending it, the time to push it out through June of this year. And we made some slight modifications to the indemnity and termination provisions to be a little bit more consistent with how our contracts like to be.
Great. I can see it's a payable in the amount of $2,484.57 beginning November 21st of 2021 and now going through June 30th of 2022. I move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Next is Clerk Auditor's Office again, Chief Deputy Brian McKenzie.
Good morning, Commissioners. We have before you a request to approve our polling locations for the 2022 elections and the designation of these polling locations as common polling places.
Okay, any questions?
I'll make a motion we approve item 4 presented to us by Brian McKenzie.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Brian. Looks like we've got a little group with you here today, Kent. Come on up. This is our Community and Economic Development Director, Kent Anderson.
Thank you, Commission. We do have a little group with us today. I'm Kent Anderson. I'm the Director of Community and Economic Development. We have a handful of items I'd like to go through. There are a couple of adjustments that we'll make, and I'll note those as we go through it. And I'm going to save the best for last here today with our members that are in attendance. Item number 5 is an approval of an amendment of the Davis County Project Contract 2021-206 with Avid Trails LLC, extending the contract period through the end of the year, terms beginning 5/4/2021 to 12/31/2022. So this is for our trail construction in the south part of the county connecting Mueller Park to North Salt Lake, about 50% of the way through. So we're excited to be able to complete that project this year.
That's fantastic. So they are the people who are designing and engineering?
And constructing.
And constructing, okay.
Yep.
That's fantastic. Yeah, come do trails in Davis County. Just take that back to Salt Lake. Thank you.
Item number six is a ratification of the Fifth Amendment to the real estate purchase contract for land with IGOG LLC, terms beginning 3/18/2022. This is for the conference center land purchase. Some of the actions that we've taken during this Fifth Amendment has, I think, moved this project forward. We've got some good negotiations now with the property owners, but I would expect a Sixth Amendment coming to finalize it. Item number seven is a ratification of a temporary access license to Farmington Preserve, TID 08053008T82, to allow access to and drill for soil sampling. This is over on the north side of I-15, west of 89. It's beginning 4/20/2022 to 5/31/2022. Item number eight, it's not actually an approval, it'll be an acceptance of real estate purchase agreement for real estate property known as tax ID number 05480016 with the buyer Brian Jarrett. This property was obtained through a tax sale, terms receivable in the amount of $460.20. So again, we're asking for acceptance of the buyer's offer to purchase the property. And if accepted, we would bring back to you a quitclaim deed for final acquisition or sale, sorry. Item number nine is an approval of an agreement with the Bountiful Davis Arts Center for annual sponsorship, terms payable in the amount of $15,000 beginning 1/1/2022 to 12/31/2022. Now, items 10 through 13 are all approvals of agreements through our third quarter process. So all of these projects were recommended by the Council of Governments and accepted by the Commission last year. And now we're moving forward with the contractual processes. There are some changes that we'll have to make on who these agreements are with, and I'll go through those as I go through the items. Item number 10 is an approval of a resolution and interlocal cooperation transportation project reimbursement agreement with Layton City, not with UDOT and UTA, for 2700 West Hillfield Road to West Davis Corridor. It's a multi-year project to be funded at $3 million in 2021. Terms payable in the amount of $3 million beginning 4/26/2022 to 4/26/2024. As you may recall, they've also received an additional $3 million, so this was a $6 million over a two-year process. So they are starting to get close to wrapping up the project on 2700 up to Gentile. This would now take it from Gentile to West Hillfield Road. Item number 11 is an approval of a resolution with Interlocal Cooperation Transportation Project Reimbursement Agreement. This is again with Layton City for the Layton Front Runner Traffic Signal Project. Terms payable in the amount of $304,000 beginning 4/26/2022 to 4/26/2024. Item number 12 is an approval of a resolution in Interlocal Cooperation Transportation Project Reimbursement Agreement, again with Layton City for the Gordon and Emerald Traffic Signal Project. Terms payable in the amount of $136,000 beginning 4/26/2022 to 4/26/2024. Item number 13 is an approval of a resolution with the Interlocal Cooperation Transportation Project Reimbursement Agreement, and this is with West Point for the 300 North Widening Project. Terms payable in the amount of $3 million beginning 4/26/2022 to 4/26/2024. Any questions on those ones before I jump to 14?
You've done a good job. Those are a lot of long titles,
right?
Yes. But
well, let's go ahead and approve those, and then we'll move on. I'll make a motion that we approve items 5 through 13 as presented to us by our Economic Development Director, Kent Anderson.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Right up, I'm just going to go ahead and summarize this item number 14. It's an approval and an amendment to the Regional Economic Development Manager Agreement with Davis County, Weber County, and the Economic Development Corporation of Utah to extend the terms through June 18, 2024, terms payable in the amount of $300,000 beginning 6/18/2019 to 6/18/2024. With us today, we have our great economic development team, Chanel Flores and Lindsay Maglish is here on the left there. And then we have our executive director for the Northern Utah Economic Alliance, Chris Roybal, and our executive director and CEO of the Economic Development Corporation of Utah, Teresa Foxley. So I really appreciate you all making the time. Maybe Chris and Teresa, if you could step up, I'll have you make a few comments. So this, imagine yourself 3 years ago when I can almost see us back up in the EDCU offices doing the press conference about this creation and formation of a new regional economic development entity. This time it was the Regional Economic Development Manager. Through a branding process, we created the Northern Utah Economic Alliance. This collaboration between Davis and Weber, I think, has really helped us in our marketing and our development opportunities. Certainly when you think about individual cities and counties trying to attract these companies, communities that don't see political boundaries. It's important to be able to garner as much strength as you can from a region to help satisfy the needs of these different companies looking to locate. And so in the packet, we had an additional attachment, and it was a 2019 through 2022 year-to-date report. That was part, there were metrics and expectations through the first 3 years. This is now a two-year extension that you're being proposed to extend. And so maybe as what I can do is turn the time over to Teresa or to Chris to kind of walk through where we've been and what we've been able to accomplish.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with our economic development team. And I should say, by the way, also that Weber County is meeting today to extend the agreement as well as the partnership. So that's also, I think, good news. But I think we're off to a really good start. We've tried to keep you abreast of all of our activities. Obviously, we won't go through that exhaustive report that we put together. However, we welcome the opportunity to kind of do that in a very detailed fashion, whenever it's convenient for the commission team. But I think as Kent mentioned, Davis and Weber County is really a natural labor pool for companies to grow. And I think that was, wise on your part and Weber County's part several years ago to say, what can we do as a region? Companies that want to either grow and expand here or come and relocate to this region don't really look at the city or county borders when they're looking at Davis and Weber. That population base of about 600 and, 15 or so and kind of growing every day, it might be even a little bit more than that now. That's the natural labor pool that the companies in Northern Utah are looking at. And so that's how we're marketing the region. So obviously there are other components that go into that, but labor is a big one and so is real estate. Companies need a home. And they need people to, go to work there. So we think we've had some really good success the first 3 years. We've put together, as Kent mentioned, this Northern Utah Economic Alliance name and brand. So we've had that out there nationally. We're trying to brand the region as a location. As things get pushed north and south out of our capital city of Salt Lake, it used to be, when I had Teresa's post a few years back, we won't mention how many, but, when people would think of Utah, they would just think of Salt Lake City, just greater Salt Lake City. That was really the state of Utah's opportunity to do economic development. It's a really different landscape now. And you can see that push northern up into Davis and Weber, and you see that south into Utah County, and I think you're just going to continue to see our economy is being pushed that way. So the more that we do together as a team, which is really what our alliance is about, I think is going to be great for Northern Utah. So I'm going to ask Teresa to come up and mention a couple things about our partnership with EDC Utah, but we really like the connection that we have with EDC Utah from several different metrics, the marketing and research, and the partnership with the state and their incentives team and the deal flow that comes through the contract that EDC Utah has with the state for the out-of-state companies, and also the connection with the local communities as well with companies that are local, expanding and growing. So anyway, we appreciate Davis County's leadership in this effort. It couldn't be done, obviously, without you and with the commissioner team up at Weber County. And so we welcome the extension.
So Chris, are you going over to Weber County today?
No, we couldn't quite make both.
Well, we appreciate you choosing us.
Yeah, right.
I'll let him know.
We talked to Commissioner Froer, and he said, yeah, we'll be okay up here. So
I was going to tell you to make sure you let those guys know we're a lot better looking yeah. here than what you right. they are.
Teresa.
Well, thank you so much, Kent, for the great intro, and Chris, of course, always a tough act to follow in all respects. So, thank you very much to the Commission as well for your trust in us over the last 3 years as we've worked to put together this partnership. It's honestly been an absolute pleasure to work more closely with both the Davis County and Weber County regions as we seek to brand this area as the future for job growth and economic opportunity. that we know exists here. I have the chance to sit in a lot of statewide conversations, and one of the things that I continuously hear about is this notion of quality growth, which I think is top of mind for everyone. And when we think about what we're trying to all collectively accomplish here, it is just that. It's quality growth so that individuals who live and reside in the Davis and Weber County areas have job opportunities right here in the region. Rather than needing to commute and leave the region. But as these two gentlemen have mentioned, we also know that the individuals who live here and the companies who seek to employ those individuals really don't care about political boundaries. And so this what was a really innovative and almost at the time experimental partnership that we put together has really proven out to be, I think, leading in the state around quality growth and creating job centers at home. And so we're just delighted to have had some success over the last 3 years in the joint branding, in utilizing the research team at EDC Utah, in enhancing the state brand through additional marketing opportunities that we've had through the Northern Utah Economic Alliance, but most importantly, seeing so much collaboration between the two counties, between the cities that exist within the counties, and between the states. So we're delighted to continue the partnership and look forward to the next 2 years. Thanks.
Fantastic. I can just add the tiniest thing that I want the public to know. We do get reports very regularly about the progress, and Chris personally emails the commissions and others, everyone involved with economic development in both counties, and I read them. Sometimes he knows it takes me a week or two to get through the list, but I read them and I reply, and it's pretty exciting to see the progress. Years ago, there was an article in some publication in Utah that quoted Natalie Gochner saying that Davis County is punching below its weight in economic development. Do you all remember? Years ago, and I read that and I was a little offended, but it was an opportunity. And I believe that this was something the legislature kind of saw also and thought would be good. And even before Commissioner Stevenson and I came into office, this was brewing. And we have seen that it makes a difference to have a regional focus and to come together. It's been pretty fascinating to see how you've developed it since the concept, right? And some really good work from a lot of folks.
Yeah, Commissioner, that's a good point. I would also mention that the state, since you started this partnership.
Will you please speak in the microphone? So sorry. There you go.
The state has matched the local county's contribution. So that's made the partnership even deeper and stronger. And of course, we want to do everything to leverage our resources. Duplicating economic development services is not in any of our best interests, whether it's city, county, state, region, public-private partnerships. So we want to be really smart about leveraging all of our economic development dollars together. And we think we're doing that and safeguarding the county's money in doing so. So thank you.
You. Anything else?
No.
Great. Thank you so much, Kent, for having them come in. Thank you so much for coming in. See you. All right. So let's see.
He's got one more.
Oh.
Take action on item number 14. That would be terrific.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
do you guys have on item 15, Kent?
No, that was
the old agenda. That item will be on next week's agenda.
Okay, so that's off. Okay. I'd make a motion that we approve the item 14, the contract with the Northern Utah Economic Alliance.
Yes, payable of $300,000, and the beginning date June 18th, 2019. We're extending to end now at June 18th, 2024. I second the motion, and all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thanks again. So nice to have you. Thank you for coming. All right, we have our health item up next with our director, Brian Hatch.
Morning. Brian Hatch, director of the health department. Before you is item 15. This is an approval of an amendment with a maternal and child health contract with the Utah Department of Health. This is adding our third and fourth quarter funding for this fiscal year, receivable in the amount of $47,615, beginning 1-1 of 2022 and running through 9-30 of 2022.
Fantastic, Brian. Thank you. I move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Next is Public Works and our director, Adam Wright, presenting 16 and 17.
All right, thanks for having me today. Item number 17 is an amendment to the project, our 1,000 North project with Acme Construction.
16, yeah. Did you say 17? Sorry.
Yeah, the old agenda, sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's okay. Sorry. That was me in the beginning of this meeting, too. No problem.
16, sorry. And this is for an additional 200 cubic yards of export. This was above and beyond what was planned for in the project. Due to weather and sedimentation, various things that happened in the year from when we planned the project, when it was actually constructed. We compared with other bids, engineers' estimates, went through quite a lot to justify going over on it, but we did end up at 200 cubic yards of additional export. And you can see with this kind of material, dumping that is very expensive. The payable amount is $8,898.
And we were wondering about this a little bit, but this is for a flood channel. Is that clearing it out?
In West Centerville, we've got a channel that's an overflow for Parrish Creek and Bernard Creek. It's a shared channel with Centerville City. With this project, they provided the design and oversight on it. We provided the construction funding for it. But, yeah, it's a channel that receives water from two separate channels for overflow.
Thank you very much. And let's see, did we already say the payable $8,898 beginning April 26, 2022 to April 26, 2023? Great. And number 17.
This is an agreement with Bowen and Collins and Associates for consultation on the MS4 program compliance with recent changes to state law. It's payable in the amount of $13,400 beginning 4/26/2022 to 12/31/2022.
Great.
Okay. I'll make a motion. We approve items 16 and 17.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you so much, Adam. Now we have our sheriff's office, and it is once again not Chief Deputy Susan Paulson, but our Chief Deputy Arnold Butcher. We love having you. We love having both of you, so thank you.
Well, thanks. I'm not as eloquent as she is at presenting, and I kind of was sitting back there thinking, maybe I could just get Kent to present all my items, because he nails it every time, right?
Which you do a good job.
Well, if I could take a minute just for a point of personal clarification,
please.
I might have been here in 1996. I was not involved with the time capsule placement. And if you give me an exact date, I'm sure I can come up with an alibi somewhere. So. Also, with the item number 18, I'd like to take just a moment, talk a little bit more about a couple of things with there. So item number 18 is approval for an agreement with Santorini's Greek Grill, which is an awesome place that is here in Farmington, who is a huge supporter of public safety. I see them at Farmington Fire, Farmington PD, the Sheriff's Office on a regular basis, just most generous offer. They're just great people. But we had a special week a couple weeks ago, which was Communications Professionalism Week, and it's basically our dispatchers, also known as Dispatch Week. And they were so kind as to donate one of the mills to the dispatchers for on April 11th of this year, 2022, the amount of $350. Also, along with that, as the Sheriff's Office, we would just like to publicly recognize and extend our appreciation to the Commission, the Budget Committee, who also, during that same time frame, showed how important that aspect of public safety is to our community. And they really stepped up, and that was, it's been very appreciated. And I don't know if that gets back to you how much those employees really recognize what you guys did for them. And thank you so much. Also coming up along the same lines, we'd like to extend an invitation on the 6th of May. The first week of May is Correctional Officer Week In 1984, President Reagan identified the first week of May as recognition of correctional officers, and that was the first actual recognition of it being its own separate profession. So on the 6th at 11:30 at the Sheriff's Office, we are celebrating with a barbecue that we'd like to invite all you to show up and show your support for the people who work in corrections. And then just while we're on this topic, on the 16th, we will be doing a flag ceremony at the Sheriff's Office for Law Enforcement Week, recognizing all the fallen officers in Davis County.
Wonderful. Thank you for giving us a heads up about all of those.
So, and moving on, items number 19 through 23, all of those are release of liability waiver rights and waiver rights for to participate in our SCRAM program run through the Sheriff's Office. These are all individuals that are in a program, and each one of their contracts starts upon the final signature, which will be today. And they will go until they are no longer under court order to participate in those programs.
And this is a substance use treatment or kind of what?
Yeah, so what the particular aspect of this is transdermal alcohol monitoring.
Yep.
And so it's used in multiple ways. It's one of the programs that was actually a state legislation 2 years ago that helps people to that have these issues to keep their driver's license and still have jobs and be able to pay their bills and support, but yet at the same time be responsible and accountable for some of the things they do. We also use this in many other aspects of public safety. Judges will use it as a pretrial release agreement for people that they want to ensure the public safety. And so it allows us to give options to the judges when sentencing or when setting bail so that they can, you know, look at all the rights and still protect the public's safety.
And those participants, I see five participants here, 19 through 23, they come in, right? They come in to have the...
Yeah, so the trans, there's a couple of different aspects to this. This particular, we're talking about the transdermal ankle monitor, which basically it senses a chemical release through the body and reports that on a continual basis, and we get the report. So if there is any alcohol or drugs specific that, to what it's monitoring, it gives sends us reports of that.
So it's an electronic?
It's electronic ankle
monitor.
Oh, that's
fantastic.
There's also another aspect to the same program where participants will actually come in twice a day and blow in a portable breath test to show that they have zero alcohol in their system. That's not particular to what these agreements are, but that is also part of that same program.
Good. So. Thank you for those explanations. I just think it's wonderful for people to really understand how helpful these new tools are.
Yes. And then item 24, thank you, Chris, is we have a training agreement with Israel Reyes and for basic corrections officer certification. He comes to us already with his own certification in special functions officer and law enforcement officer, SFO and LEO, going to work in our corrections division to start, and so he needs to get his basic corrections officer. And that is payable in the amount of $5,625, and it'll begin when he is sworn in, and it'll end 2 years from that date.
Very good. Thank you.
I'll make a motion that we approve item 18 through 24 as presented to us by Chief Deputy Butcher.
I will second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Very good. Thank you. All right. We will move to our consent items. I move approval of commission meeting minutes for April 12th, 2022. And we have our indigent abatement register for, that's in our binder, right? Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we approve the commission meeting minutes from 4/12.
Thank you. Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. I have these, so I will, let's see. I'm just going to name them 1 through 4. I move that we approve number 1, approve number 2, approve number 3, deny number 4 to require a hearing. That's my motion.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Okay, now I move we recess to Board of Equalization.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Commissioners, you have for your consideration today under your property tax register, under auditor adjustments, you have a report with recommended approvals for various appeals. Under abatements, you have three abatements recommended for denial. Under corrections, you have four veteran exemption tax abatements for the year 2021, and that is your property tax register for April 26, 2022.
I'll make a motion that we approve the property tax register as presented to us.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Very good. I move we reconvene commission meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Here we are. Thanks. That was a lot of business. So any comments from our attorney today? Anything from our clerk auditor?
No comment. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Stevenson?
Nothing.
Okay. Just a couple quick things from me before we close. That is that the Memorial Courthouse planning for the open house is well underway with multiple departments helping to plan that. And we're super excited about it. This is a big, giant date. So take it back to the congressman and all the people on staff who would want to know about this. It's a big deal for all of Davis County. And the date is in June when we anticipate we'll be ready for open house. On Thursday, June the 9th, will be the opportunity for our employees to go through. Make sure I say this all right. But we have the opportunity for a courthouse walkthrough for all Davis County employees. And we hope that HR will help us get the word out. Commission office will also get the word out. We're so excited for our employees to be able to see it first. Some employees worked for years in that former space. And so it should be pretty fun for people to see and remember with this, with the historical renovation of this magnificent building. The courthouse walkthrough for employees will be that day, Thursday, from 11 to 2. And then that evening will be a Memorial Courthouse VIP event for those who are invited to that, which will include community and city leaders throughout all of Davis County. That will begin at 6 o'clock. And then there will be a special presentation at 6:30, and then the rest of the time for folks until 8 o'clock to be able to go through and admire this beautiful facility and the work that it has. And then on Friday, June the 10th, we have the ribbon cutting, and that will be at 1 o'clock. And then this is for the general public. Hopefully lots and lots and lots. We hope hundreds of folks from throughout Davis County will come. And 1 o'clock is the beginning of that with a ribbon cutting anticipated on those north stairs where the big columns are. And then from 1 up until 6 p.m., the opportunity for general public to come and go through and appreciate what we have. Also, that plaza has been designed for gatherings and inspiration and memorials, and it just won't have turf quite yet. It will have a cover to keep the dust and the weeds down until such time as we can put in the rest of what's going to go on the ground, whatever that may be. But anyway, we just encourage everyone to start spreading that word. We are spreading that word from the county and are very, very excited about this event. Very grateful for facilities, especially doing so much work with this project. It's a magnificent project. One of those generational projects that we've been hearing about. That's what we have coming up. And with that, I say we adjourn our meeting. Thanks, everyone.